The Public Safety Committee will come to order. Ask Representative Kelly if you wouldn't mind moving the minutes of March 21st.
So moved.
Kelly moves the minutes of March 21st. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? That motion prevails. We have one bill on the calendar today, and we should be out of here hopefully not too long. I wanted to make an announcement that we're hoping to have the budget before you on Thursday, and I'll be meeting with Representative Cornish prior to that to go over our recommendations, and that's subject to change, but that's what we're hoping to accomplish. Okay, so Representative Savick, welcome to your committee.
Thank you, Chair.
You want to move your bill?
I would like to move my bill to, where do I move it to?
To taxes.
To taxes, okay. Thank you. This is a simple bill. In the rural or greater Minnesota, we're having trouble recruiting replacement firefighters for a number of reasons, but mostly because the population is aging and there are no jobs in the real small town. And I'd like to give you an example of a couple of incidents. Last year in Frost, they had a fire, and there was not one firefighter in town. They were all working out of town. And so they had to call the Bryson Fire Department to come over and put the fire out. In Freeborn County, if you are in one of the rural communities and you have a fire, they automatically activate three fire departments so that they will have enough firefighters to fight the fire. And this puts a lot of their risks, the jobs that they do have, at risk, because there are often more fires than if they were just covering their one community. The cost of this is pretty high. What I'm saying is we need to do a $500 tax credit to volunteers, firefighters, ambulance drivers. The cost is pretty high, but if you consider that we have 18,000 volunteer firefighters out of 20,000 paid firefighters, 18,000, and right now our cost of fighting fires is one of the lowest in the nation. If we have to replace a lot of those volunteers with professional firefighters or paid firefighters, it's going to cost the state a lot more money in the long run. So this is one way to help recruit. I have two testifiers here, and the first is Chief Ken Perleman from Brooklyn Center, and he will be testify on behalf of the Minnesota State Fire Chiefs Association and the Minnesota State Fire Department Association.
Very good. Chief, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. For the record, Ken Perleman with the Brooklyn Park Fire Department, representing the State Fire Chiefs Association and the Minnesota State Fire Department Association. The story you've just heard in terms of the ability to muster enough firefighters, particularly in rural communities, is by no means anecdotal and is not an anomaly. And at the risk of sounding like Chicken Little, the system that we have relied on for over 100 years is at a very critical juncture. Our ability as fire chiefs to recruit and retain firefighters is putting the very system that we rely on at risk. As you just heard, the cost of this bill compared to the cost of having to hire firefighters on a full-time basis, we believe that the 18,000 volunteer and paid on-call firefighters represent about $1 billion savings to this state. So the $9.5 million by comparison seems to be a pill that's a little easier to swallow, being very respectful of the work that this committee still has ahead of it. I just want to represent that it is becoming more and more difficult for fire chiefs. They have very little in their arsenal to recruit and retain firefighters. There are areas of this state where a firefighter retiring after 20 years will have less than $15,000 in a retirement account. That's approximately $750 for each year of service, and in many cases that's their only means of compensation. And yet they're expected to train, to recertify, and to leave their family and businesses in order to protect their communities. This bill would be a critical piece, in the arsenal that a fire chief needs to recruit and retain firefighters, and I encourage the committee to look favorably upon it. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chair and members, Buck McAlpin representing the Minnesota Ambulance Association. About 4 years ago, under the direction of Commissioner Campion and the State Fire Marshal's office, we worked with the state fire chiefs and jointly did a statewide report on recruitment and retention of both ambulance and fire and first responder volunteers. And off that report, we had some best practice ideas we've tried to implement around some toolkits for recruitment and retention. We also included ambulance and fire volunteers into Minnesota Care, one of the first states to do that. One thing identified was volunteers in rural Minnesota couldn't access some health insurance. We did that as a piece. And as Chief Perlman talked about, the pensions or longevity awards for volunteers, that's still supported by the legislature for us. And the last thing that was listed was a tax credit of some type as we went through that report. And we're glad to see this come up this year and Representative Savick bringing this forward. But on the EMS side, about 500,000 ambulance calls statewide, still about 62% of our staffing system for the ambulance industry is volunteer-based. And a few years ago, our association did a study, and that correlates to about $750 million a year of wages we don't pay for full-time employees to work in our departments in mostly rural Minnesota. So we appreciate your support as we move this bill forward out of the committees, and we enjoy the discussion around how we continue to keep that infrastructure in place.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Are there any questions? Representative Uglem.
Yes, Mr. Chair. Representative Savick, now this problem is really a rural problem mainly. Was there any thought and consideration given to just including rural fire departments and first responders in this bill versus going statewide with metro ones too?
Representative Savick.
No, I hadn't thought about that. But I do believe that some of the suburbs have a problem recruiting firefighters too, although they have a much bigger number of people to recruit from. I talked to one representative, and she said that they go door to door looking for firefighters in this one community. And she suggested that we do that in the rural communities. And I told her, when you live in a town of 500 people, you know everybody in town. You don't have to go door to door. No, I haven't thought of that, but I would welcome a amendment to that effect if that's the only way to get this passed. And I don't know what you think about that.
Chief Perlman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, there are first and second ring communities here in the metro that still have only the resources to pay firefighters $8 a call, regardless of how long that call lasts. And when you consider that a firefighter, especially one who is also expected to assist with medicals, may have as many as 250 or 300 hours of training to begin the job, mm-hmm. they're required to do a couple dozen hours minimum annually to keep their certifications. They are expected to come to department level training at least twice a month, perform a variety of station duties, including in some cases repairing their own apparatus, and then we want them to leave their family dinners, birthday parties, and anniversaries, and oh yeah, occasionally put their life on the line. $8 a call is a very difficult presentation, and as I said, these are first and second ring communities. I don't have the same recruitment problems in Brooklyn Park that other communities have. Although my highest paid firefighter with 20 some years of experience still is capped at $15 an hour, that is still the lowest paid exempt or non-exempt job in the city of Brooklyn Park. But at $15 an hour, that is near the high end of the hourly wage for firefighters, and because of that, I don't have the exact same circumstances as others. But I will tell you that first and second ring communities are faced with this exact same problem. I will also tell you that without the support of my city council, who has invested $800,000 a year in on-station staffing, I'd have the same problem during the day as the representative described a few minutes ago. It is extremely difficult for us to get more than two or three additional firefighters during daytime hours because so many are focused on keeping their full-time jobs.
Representative Ugo.
Mr. Chair, well, Chief, I'm your neighbor, you know. I was the mayor of Champlin for many years. In fact, I was having coffee Saturday morning with one of your volunteer firefighters, Tim. And so I'm aware of that. I'm just looking at some of the costs here. And I know that in Champlin and in Brooklyn Park, some of these positions are actually sought after, and we allow some of our municipal employees, I think you guys do too, don't you, to be volunteer firefighters, and that works out pretty well for our city. But just looking at the cost, it is very significant. I don't argue it. I just want to make sure that that we're doing the right fiscal thing here. Thank you.
Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for the record, I agree with the concept of this bill, Representative Savick, and I'm glad you brought this forward. Knowing where you're from, I understand the drive behind this, if you will. But I do have a couple of questions, and maybe directed towards the chief, if he knows the answers to these. But as I look at the bill and I look at the language in the bill, it talks primarily about the term volunteer, and it also references the definition of volunteer in various places in statute. But I also heard you talk about paid on call, and I guess my question is, are we talking about, and I don't have the statutes in front of me that are referenced in the bill here, but are we talking about true volunteers, or is part of this total sum of 18,000 statewide, does that include paid on call as well? And I'll just throw in a follow-up, maybe you can answer that too. I do know that down here in certain parts of the metro area, they run what I would call duty shifts, and I'm sure you're familiar with that term, where we might have an individual that works a 12-hour in this community and a 12-hour in that community and a 12-hour in that community over the course of a week or 2 weeks to try to you know, make money and make a living, obviously. But so when I look at that individual, are we counting that person as part of this, and are we counting them two or three times based on are they working, you know, in Brooklyn Park and over here, and I don't know if you run that type of model or not, but so those are essentially my questions, if that makes sense.
Chief Perlman.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, the definition in statute would include paid on-call firefighters, so it excludes about 10% of the total firefighter base. There's 20,000, about 2,000 of us are full-time municipal employees covered by a benefit plan and are salaried or compensated on some full-time basis. So this bill would cover strictly volunteer as well as those that are paid on call. Those that are involved in duty crew models, and we run one in Brooklyn Park, for the most part, the individual who is working on that type of structure predominantly has a full-time job elsewhere and is working 3 to 6 hours a week firefighting. And that we have a handful that, as you describe, do work for multiple fire departments or try to string together multiple shifts in order to, in essence, carve out a living being a firefighter, albeit without benefits. Under that scenario, the credit would go to the taxpayer, and even though that firefighter might work for several different fire departments, he or she is still a single taxpayer, as would the ambulance volunteer. They could work for multiple ambulance services, and I would imagine it, particularly in the rural area, some of them work for both the ambulance and the fire department. As may be the case, I believe Elk River would be the closest one that we might have volunteer ambulance as well as volunteer firefighters. So, but they'd still be a single taxpayer under this bill, subject to the credit just once.
Representative Simonson.
And thank you for that, Chief. I appreciate that. And I think, again, I'll just say that I agree with the concept and the spirit behind this, and I think as we move forward, there's some things that we could do to make it even better. So thank you.
First of all, I want to thank Representative Savick for bringing this forward. And Representative Uglum, my city, Bloomington, is a volunteer fire department. They have over 140 firefighters So it does exist in the urban, suburban, rural areas as well. So any other comments from members?
I have a comment. I was talking to Brian Haroldson, who is the works for the Keister Fire Department, and he's going to be retiring pretty soon with 30 years in as a volunteer fire firefighter. And his retirement fund will only be a little over $11,000 that he gets in one-time pay. So it's not a lot that they're getting from their retirement funds.
Thank you. Is there anybody in the audience that would like to speak in favor or against this bill? Seeing none, Representative Savick renews her motion to pass and be referred to the Committee on Taxes.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Savick.
Thank you.
Well, the Transportation Policy and Finance Committee is adjourned.
Why is that? How do you know?
Oh, public safety, I'm sorry.